now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our very special guest is David Eckhart. David is a longtime reptilian abductee who has a wealth of information. Special thanks and kudos to Lon Strickler for introducing me to David. And you can find some information about David on Lon's website, which is the great phantomsandmonsters.com website. You can also hear a two-part interview with David Eckhart on Arcane Radio, hosted by Lon Strickler. So without any further ado, David Eckhart, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you for having me on, James.
David, your knowledge of the reptilians is, I'm sure there are others out there that have seen or had experienced as much as you, but as far as having the courage to come out and share what you've seen and observed, I really want to, you know, give you kudos and give you thanks for doing that, because you've really raised the bar, raised the level of our understanding of what the reptilians are all about. And so our listeners are be in for a treat today as far as, you know, being able to expand their knowledge base. Could you tell us, our listeners, how you first came to realize that you were having these reptilian ET experiences and when they began for you?
It probably been going on for longer than I imagined, because I didn't have time to deal with stuff like that in life. Always like paranormal stuff would happen, but I just didn't acknowledge it because I don't have time for all that stuff. And then it started to bother the family I had, and that's when I had to take interest in it. And by the way, they are real. They eat, they bleed, and they do die. Okay, they are absolutely real. And what their final agenda is, I do not know for sure, but they got a lot of stuff going on there. But I guess when I first started noticing them was probably I was living in Gulf Breeze, and things were happening there. The very first time I seen something that was really odd, I came home from work, and my wife was cooking in the kitchen, and I went over and sat down on the couch, and I seen something had a bunch of bouncing balls, but a human figure came out of the kitchen and went down my hallway and zoomed into my bedroom. And I'm like, wow, I just sat down too fast, you know. And then that's like the very first time I seen them. I don't know if their invisibility was decloaking or what was going on with it, but it was in a hurry, whatever it was. And so that's like the very first time I ran into that situation. But before then, I was probably about 18 years old, and we run into some entity out in the woods in Gulf Breeze, me and two other friends, and we made the mistake of going back and saying we'd seen some aliens, and they're not green. And that brings me up to, to the Milton house from there. I was living in Milton, Florida. And that was a great big house, and everybody was complaining about all the noises it was making. And I was out of town a lot, and I kept telling them, you know, just the house making noises. And then I come home from work one day, and my wife was white as a ghost. And I asked her, what's wrong? And she said she's seeing people walk through the house. And I told her to ignore it. You know, this is my new house. I'm not going to give it up to anybody, a ghost or anybody. And then she started to cry, so I had to do something about it. So, you know, being the man of the house. And then started doing research on poltergeists and everything else, and spending a lot of hours trying to figure it out. It sounded just like poltergeist. And I heard people calling them demons and everything else. Whether they're demons or not, I don't know what a demon looks like, but how much empathy they have towards their own kind or other people, I don't know. But they're not, my opinion, they're not demons. They're just like me. They live, breathe, and they eat, and they have feelings. People say the reptilians soak off of your emotions. That could be true. I don't know for sure, but it seems to be that way sometimes. But, that leads us all the way up to where I started getting photographs and pictures of them. And the longer I do it, the better I get at it. So, and the only reason why I put it out there the very first time was because I was looking for somebody with better equipment and better knowledge. And I found nobody with better equipment or better knowledge than me so far. So,
could you tell us, David, what has happened when the reptilians have entered your various homes? And I believe that this happened at least in two of your homes where they access your home through portal entries, and then they either interact with you in your home or they take you elsewhere. Could you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, I can. You want me to sum it up, or
give us some examples. Okay, yeah. Give us some examples of what happened.
But one time, this is in the Milton house in Milton, Florida, which is outside of Pensacola. When we decided, we figured out that there was some kind of entity. Me and my wife was laying in bed, and then. You know, we was asking them if it was good or bad. You know, the first thing that you always ask a situation like that, which was, to me, it's a kind of a dumb question. but anyways, 3 seconds after that, it started going numb from the feet. This, you know, body started vibrating from the feet, and it worked its way up to the legs and up to the hips and the torso of the body, all the way up to your head, and you felt like a limp biscuit. But you still knew what was going on, but you just didn't care. And me and my wife were still able to talk through our teeth to each other. It's like, oh, my God, you feel that? You know, it's like, yeah, I feel it, too. And all of a sudden, they came in and picked us up. I'm sure they was already there, but it was cloaked. But some reptilians picked us up, big ones. And they was holding me up underneath the armpits. That's how strong they are, out away from them. Like, he didn't want to touch me. And then they carried us through this portal, Stargate, whatever you want to call it. And then the first thing I noticed was a realm that was all dark and black. So you couldn't tell which was up or which was down. And we was going through, there were some armed guards, three of them on each side. And they was acting like they was paranoid going through this section of the Stargate portal, whatever you want to call it. And then up in the head in the distance, I saw a light, looked like a doorway. And then we come through that and came up to like an airplane hangar field. And it was daylight. Where this was at, I do not know. But it was concrete. And they had some cubicles off to the side and some half-round buildings like you would see at an old military base. And they carried us up in the cubicles. And first thing I noticed, there was a doctor standing in there who had blue scrubs on. You could tell he was reptilian just by looking at his eyes, and because his whole face wasn't covered up. And they carried me past that room to the next room up. And I'm imagining that my wife went into the first room. And they put me down on this stainless steel table, and they swung over the light over me. You know, you can feel the heat coming off the light because it's pretty intense. But they started doing things. I could hear them talking, and then next thing you know, I'm waking up in my bed. Don't know what happened after that. So that was the first time I went to the Stargate that I know of. I've never been able to walk into it freely, but they've always been able to carry me out. I mean, carry me in and carry me back out. But only one time as I run out of a Stargate or portal, whatever you want to call it. And one time they came in and they took me out of the bed. And this portal, Stargate, opened up next to my dresser in Milton, Florida. And they put me on this gurney, had wheels on it. And they started wheeling me down to this portal. I noticed that they had a bunch of other humans on the side, and it was doing things to them. And then I was keeping my eye on this one. It was a real short reptilian female, and she had this long-looking rod, and she was shoving it in this guy's back, kind of heavy set, sparse hairs on the back, and he was just like comatose, you know, out of it. And she had a little incision that she was shoving this rod up into, and she got mad, pulled it out, threw it on the floor, and she stuck her two fingers into this guy's incision and peeled the opening up big enough where she stick her whole arm up inside this guy's back, and she pulled it out, and she says, I got it. I didn't get to see what it was, but I was like, hell no. So I rolled off that gurney, and I started going back the other way. And I came right back out into my bedroom, and I spun around. I was waiting for him to come through because I was going to tackle him, and I went over to my bed and woke up my wife. I says, hey, man, so this just happened. She's like, get back in bed, you know? It's like, okay, you just don't understand. But anyways, they never came through. And when they took me and my wife out at the one time, we didn't even think about it when we woke up in the morning time to even talk about it. We just went through the emotions of getting ready for work and everything. And I left, and halfway to work, everything started coming back to me. It's like, okay, they took us out there, you know, through a Stargate portal, you know, last night. And called up my wife, and I was telling her, and she remembered it too. And we never even discussed why. We never even talked about it when we came back. But, that's like first couple of times that they're taking us through. They're taking my kids through. One time I was laying in bed pretending I was asleep, and figured out a way I can see them pretty good. At this time, I couldn't see them that good with my eyes, but you could tell it was there. But I developed ways to see them, and I was using this one. I don't want to talk about what I use because don't know. So, but anyway, so I heard them go upstairs, and they came down with my kids and laid them across the foot of my bed, crisscrossed, and I sat up in the bed, and there was a female reptilian standing there with a shorter reptilian, like an apprentice or whatever, and I looked at her, and she was looking at me, and the smaller guy said, "Does this bother you?" And I said, "Well, I didn't want to screw things up." I said, "No, I trust you." And they spun around and started walking out. I said, "Why are you doing this?" And the female put her finger up in the air, and they only have three fingers, believe it or not. And she waved it. She says, "Because you're special." And I said, "Bull crap." I got to have a better answer than that, because you can say that to anybody. It was like a pre-planned line, what they say. But they picked us up and towed us out. And they took us all the way to this area. It was a big hollowed out cavern, and put us on this train car, and bed and all. Bed and all. This is a California king size bed, had big columns on it. Took 9 of them to carry it out, 9 big reptilians. And I remember seeing a golf cart down there with them riding around on. And there's other, like a subway train down there with no glass in it. And they had like an old Model A Ford that was barely running. You had to crank it up from the front end of it. And all kinds of antique looking stuff laying around down there. And they towed us off, and you could hear the train going. And it's really strange. They took us to all kinds of different places. It took a long time. It took all night long. But, then they brought us back from there. But the kids don't remember anything, and my wife doesn't remember anything. But I remembered everything because I turn around, you bite the inside of your cheeks. You can stay awake sometimes. Not working so well anymore. But stay awake. But, yeah, I got to see a bunch of stuff going down there like that. So I could go into detail about that if you wish, but
yeah, please describe to us what you've seen in the underground reptilian bases, and you know, their mode of transport down there. You mentioned the tram system and whatnot, and also after you talk about that, talk a bit about when you were taken seemingly off world to another place or another planet entirely, but please start with the underground bases and what you've observed and the activities down there. Like, what do the reptilians get up to down there?
Okay. Well, the reptilians, they pretty much conduct themselves like we do. They have families and everything else. And, I remember, some of the females down there seemed to be, into like, in prestige stuff, you know, and I remember there was when we passed, a couple of these female reptilians were talking back and forth and right past them, and they do peel. And then one of the females had half her skin just flopping on her face. I just wanted to reach out and pull it off for her, but I guess that's a bad thing to do. But you know, things like that bother you, but yeah, they have stores down there. They have their children, and they parked me out in the open in this tunnel system. It was massive. I mean, really big. And some of it didn't look like it was finished. But they had stores up inside the walls and stuff, and they were getting around with their kids, the females and stuff. And they was bringing the kids up to me, and I had, like, this plastic all the way around me. And they was, like, staring at me. I was unclothed at that time, too. And so I felt kind of weird, like a zoo animal. And one of the kids, you know, to put his hand up on the plastic. I put my hand on his and everything. You feel it. They're cold. They're cold skin and up ahead in the distance. Some came and got me, and then except in the distance where they're taking me. There's like a black and gold bullet train down there, and it was already parked, and it was like a side port. Looked like you offload would, you know, offload the train there, and they took me into a room, and they had chemistry stuff in there, and had a table in there, like stainless steel, and they had like a shelf in there. I had like some beakers and stuff on it, and I could hear my wife off in the distance. She was like moaning, calling my name, but I knew she was gonna be all right. So but I was trying to see what I could take, and then some scientists or whatever you want to call it walked in. They didn't have no scrubs on or anything like that, so I pretended I was asleep laying there, and then I could hear, and they were doing something to me that I couldn't tell what it was, and then they left, and I assuming they went down there where my wife was at, because they always separate us, the kids and my wife and me, always in different rooms, and I noticed some of the artwork that they had, you know, because they usually take me and put me in a room or something like that, and then another group would come and get me and take me a little bit further. I noticed that they have like artwork carved into the stone, and it's really quite beautiful the way they do it. It's like war scenes, like battle scenes and stuff like that they went through, and really, really cool. And they took me to like this it was real close to like this airport Stargate type thing, and everybody was coming down to there and going through these portals and Stargates. And there was one section of it that had like metal gate railing all the way around it, and it had like three different pictures going on or Stargates operating, and I could kind of see the machine down below. It was kind of like a half moon shape, and it was humming. You could hear it humming, and they put me in this beam of light, and it's I don't know, to keep me contained or whatever, why they was waiting on it. And there was another guy there too, but he was like in a comatose state. And I was observing what was going on, and the trains that kept bringing these reptilians in, and they was just walking until they dial in, and the picture would change. And then they would walk out there where the steel grates were and walk right into the portal, Stargate, whatever you want to. I guess it's like an airport. It was running. No, I was more interested in what how the machine was running and what the power source was and everything else. But they finally took me down and run me through the Stargate, and I came out to this one place. It was it looked like it was tropical, and it was like part of a mountainside, and it was like a cave that was kind of hollowed out through, but you could kind of see right through the rocks. It was kind of weird. I noticed these frog-looking guys, or but they had full suits on, and they had like little eyeglass lenses going over, but they're like frogs. And they was toting this young female in this like wire looking mummy cage. And she was getting upset, and they opened it up and let her out. And she tried to get away, but they started kicking her and everything else, and put her back in the wire cage. I guess it was giving her a drink, but these frog looking people, I guess they can't handle the sun or whatever very well. Wherever this place was at, I do not know, but it looked tropical. I do not know if it's on Earth or where it was at. Let's see. And then one time, this is what I always do. I always ask them to let me speak to somebody in charge, you know, and they don't always send the best of the best to come in and get me. Some of them kind of, you know, stupefied or whatever, not really high intelligence. But I said, let me speak to somebody in charge, and he said, okay, just a minute. And so I followed behind him all the way down through these hallways. I think I was in the craft. I believe I was in the craft, because we came out to one room. It had like an atrium, and it had all dead plants in there, and they had a bunch of computers running and everything. And the female turned around, which is, I found out that she's in charge of everything. I didn't know this at the time, but she's in charge of all the operations at my house. And and she starts yelling, what's he doing in here? And and she starts yelling, and he's like, he needs to speak to somebody in charge. And she's like, get him the hell out of here now. And it's like, we need to speak to somebody. She just was going off on him. So they took me all the way back to where they was taking me. I don't remember anything after that. But when I was looking at her, there was like a big picture window. It looked like Earth through the window, you know. So it probably was, but not until I know for absolutely sure. I'm not going to say it was Earth or some other place, but yeah. So they have all kinds of experiments going on up there. They've taken me one time, and they was dropping me off on all these different rooms and stuff, and they put me in this one room. It had looked like it had blast doors on it, and it had a window looking into it, and it had this crystal looking thing right in the middle of the room, and it was glowing. And I didn't want to get too close to it because I didn't know what the heck it was, and I could hear the human male and the human female, and evidently they was together at one time. I was hearing them talk like it was a speaker going on. They didn't know it was on, and evidently they had children together, but they're not together anymore. And they was arguing about that kind of stuff, humans. And then they came and got me out and took me somewhere else after that. But I remember that very well. I was like, they still have problems up here. But and see, this other time when it was taking me to those different places for drop-offs, I was watching these young girls, and there was in a line behind the steel door. And on the other side of the door, which I was on the other side, was this scanning machine. And these are all real young girls, anywhere from 6 or 7 years old. And what they did is they let one through at a time, and they would tell them to stand right there, and the machine would scan them up and down. And if something was right, wasn't right, I was assuming that they would put them down right there and then, and these things would come out and jab them in the legs and, like, siphon all the blood out. And you could hear the body hit the floor, and then they would let the next person in. They would scan them, too. If everything was good, I guess they'd let them through. But I'd sit there and watch that. That was tough to watch because they didn't know what they was into. let's see, another drop-off point they dropped me off at before I'd be picked up by somebody else. There was a bunch of, like, boilers down in this area. It looked like big boilers. Some of them wasn't operational. And this one reptilian, I guess it's a black market, had a baby stuffed up in one of these boilers. And he brought this young girl down there with him. And she didn't want to be there. And he's kind of pushing her around and everything. And he opened up a boiler and pulled this baby out. And was wrapped up in a blue blanket and handed it to her. And she didn't want to hold it. And he's sitting there hitting her and shit and stuff. I'm sorry, it gets me upset when I see that kind of stuff. But he hands it to her and she holds it. And the baby's crying. And she's just doing her best to keep it calm. And then they came and got me from there.
Was that a human baby or a reptilian baby?
Yeah, it was a human baby and a human girl. Evidently, my understanding is children die if they don't get no attention. You know, newborn infants and stuff like that, they're not given attention. They're messed up in the head or they die. So they got to have constant stimulation that somebody's there for them. So it's up. And I think this guy was like breaking one of their laws or whatever, or a black market going on, I'm sure. For them to make their extra money or whatever. But these children that they produce, they're looking for talent, and they got to sell themselves. And I seen like a market for them, and they would get up on stage and they would either sing or dance or whatever. They got to be entertaining or they won't be bought on the market, you know. Usually they'll buy them and they'll bring them home and they'll be like a living doll for their children or playmate. They'll use them to clean the houses and to keep the quarters all cleaned up and stuff. They don't really have houses, just quarters. And it's usually and when they're all done with them, they get too old, they'll send them in to be processed for food.
Now, do these people, these young people that are being auctioned like this or being marketed in these slave auctions, were they taken, kidnapped from the surface, or were they grown in these like fast grow genetic programs, or a combination of both?
I believe that they're all genetically engineered and grown, they get. I don't know how they recognize the genes or anything, but the child's got to have talent, and if they don't sell themselves in a period of time, they'll send them off, and whatever they do with them, or they'll sell them really cheap, whatever. And there's some some reptilians there, you know, they're like our statistic, they'll have a whole harem of these young girls. I've seen some that was like four of them, and it was all exactly alike, and they was dressed up in these little princess outfits, and they was beautiful little girls too, and you can tell they was well taken care of. And I mean, it's I was watching that thing go on. They have them sitting on their knees all around the guy who buys them, which is sitting in a chair during the auction and everything. So it was,
just to give us a visual understanding, what do these particular reptilians look like? Their coloration, their build, do they vary in appearance, or are they all basically the same species?
No, they all vary. They would be like looking at a bunch of humans in a shopping mall, and they all got their own little features and everything. But most of them are the ones that are more built like us. They're green and scaly. And then they got this one reptilian species that they look, they're short, and they have not much of a facial feature on them. They do protrude out around their mouth and everything. Their ears are set inside, you know, the little holes. And they're like a different color up around the mouth than they are on top of the head, but they're kind of like a grayish color. And then there's a species there that would be looking like more like a war species or a renegade. And they're built more like a silverback ape. You know, they got the longer arms. I have not noticed if they got one three fingers or not. But they don't seem to like humans very well. And, they're always very military. And they're really short legs, and their skin's more like a toad skin, like like a toad. And they don't care for humans too much. And then they got another species that they're kind of like a workers. Like, I don't know if they genetically engineered them or what, but they got really big heads and really wide bodies, and they're really short. They're probably about 3 foot tall, and they're like workers. That's it's kind of strange to look at them. And they do have like little android robots that run errands for them, and they look a little bit like C-3PO's, but with like a flexible membrane stretched all the way around them. And I've seen a black shiny ones, and I've seen gold looking ones like C-3PO that run around, and they're only about maybe 2.5 foot tall. I'd love to have one. So seen those down there. And see what else. As far as the technology going on, they do have holograms. They use that quite often. They have handheld ones that projects them anywhere that they pointed at, and they're like beamed in on like a laser type deal. And they have bigger holographic machines that usually they can make you think that you're at home. They like, if you lay in bed, they can station these holograms towers up around your bed, and it makes you see the whole room, and you could be somewhere totally different. The best way to try to look around that is look up, because usually the ceiling would be pitch black, and that's how you can tell if you're in a hologram or not. Let's see, what else do they have? And of course, the little grays, they're wandering around too. They don't say much, and they're always like observing, but they're only ones with the wands. And exactly all the characteristics that the wand can do, I do not know. But I see them using it, putting it up against somebody's head so everybody in the whole room could understand. Matter of fact, that's why when they took me and my wife and to a place that looked like the moon, which is pretty much confirmed that it was like low gravity. And we was going through, they was dragging us on these like little cot, like looking things like Indians used and I was laying upside down, and I came through. I woke up, and I'm watching the bottom of the stick dragging through this like dusty, like sand type deal. And I see my wife next to me, and she was out, and there was a big reptilian pulling me, and he was talking to another one, and we kept getting stopped at checkpoints. And I'm looking around, the sky looked black, and it looked just like if he was on the moon. And after we went through all these checkpoints and security. This thing came up out of the ground and looked like a Stonehenge, but it had a lid on it all the way across. And we got on that, and we went down inside this, I would say the moon. And And there was a city down there, and they took me into this one building, I guess, to go see a Council 5. I don't know who the Council 5 is. I did not know if I seen them or not know it or whatever, but they took me into this room, and this lady, I believe it was a lady, she drew a picture of what it looked like, because she claimed that she was there too, and she drew it detailed, and that's where I was at. And there was a table there, a long oval table, and I was standing at the end of that. And it reminded me of like a Star Wars situation, because there's multiple different species there. And it was like dusty in there, and you know, like spotlights on the ceiling, and everybody talking at one time. And these monkeys came up, and they jumped up on the table. They looked like monkeys, and they had like military uniforms on. And I'm like, and nobody could understand what the one was trying to talk about. So one of these greys came up and put the wand to his head, and everybody in the whole room could understand what he's talking about. I couldn't, but I'm like thinking the Planet of the Apes. I was like, these guys are talking to these monkeys and not talking to me. And, well, anyways, whatever happened from that, that was like the last time I've ever been to that area. But, I don't know what happened exactly as far as the Council 5 was going on, but I was there. And, and I'm still here on planet Earth alive. So I guess they were trying to decide what to do with me since I knew so much information. Let's see.
What are some of the things they seem to do to you, David? I think you indicated a lawn that you felt you were part of a breeding program. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I can. I don't usually talk about it, but
whatever you're not comfortable with, we don't have to talk about
that's
that.
That's fine.
You know, talk about something else. That's fine.
He's got it in the book a little bit. It's fine. But if anybody ever reads the book, and so anyways, yeah, well, I'll be laying in bed at night, and you can always tell when a portal, a Stargate opens up, and you can hear them talking sometimes, and they'll send in females, and they'll come over and get on the bed. You can feel the bed moving from standing on it. They're not as heavy on the bed as another, you know, if it was going on with somebody's flesh and blood like I am completely, they're like partly transparent, but they get on top of you, and then they get right back off you that quick, and they'll send them in one at a time. I couldn't figure out why I couldn't feel anything, and I figured out that they put a catheter in for that, so you're not actually making penetration. So, they've only bred me with a reptilian female one time that I know of, and then they've all been human females, and you can't see their face, but you can see their body, and you can kind of judge of age and everything else from that point. They brought me a girl one time to show me their handiwork, I guess. I guess to keep me calm down for whatever they was doing. And showed it to me, and then she was a pretty little girl. She had on a Care Bear. It looked like a Care Bear pajamas or whatever. Showed me to her, and then they marched out. I wasn't allowed to talk to her or touch her. There was like a barrier between us. But then they marched her right back out. So I guess I pretty much guessed what was going on there. And I did get a little bit of pictures of that. So that helped out too.
Did that little girl look mostly human or part human, part reptilian?
Yeah, she looked all human to me. She had dark hair, and it was kind of long, and she looked like she was well taken care of. I don't know, but they brought her in to show me. I don't know if she had any special abilities or anything like that, but that one had a child in my room, and it looked like it did, you know, so like half human, half reptilian. So I don't know if that was successful for them, because they had other like investors there or whatever watching the situation of other being born. So, but I was getting ready for work that morning. That was going on. So
now you mentioned earlier about how they have this trade system going on down there. Are you familiar if they use currency as we understand it? How do they do that?
I have not seen any currency as in gold coins or anything like that. They call it capital. I have not seen them exchanging it or anything. They just call it capital, and that's because there are ones are more wealthy than other ones, way wealthier. And it has to do with status, their accomplishments, and everything, you know. And the males are always off, like, doing battles. I guess they've been at war with somebody for a very long time, and they believe that they can win.
Could you repeat that bit right there? You said that you feel that they have been at war with a foe for a long time. Could you elaborate on what
I was over listening to them talk, and they're talking about a battle, a war that's been going on for a long time that they believe that they can win. Of course, you always, how long have it been going on? I don't know. And I don't know who the good guys and who the bad guys are, but somebody, they've been battling for a long time. And a lot of the men go that way for the battles. And they do a lot of battling with swords and everything that I know of. And they have their suits and everything else that they go into battle with. And I seen an area one time that was like battered, like it was bombed, you know, from airplanes or something. And still on fire and smoking, but I only seen that for a brief moment of time. But so that's where they go off to, and then a lot of their status has to do with their DNA and their titles and who they was, like if their forefather was a big time battle and won a lot of battles, you know, they can say, use their name, like, you know, for down the road, and plus their DNA, everything's done by that. You know, it's like no cowards, you know, survive very long to tell the story. So they get, you know, awarded, you know, for being brave and everything else and going into battle. That kind of holds their status and how well they live and everything. So they take care of the people that go into battle, and plus their DNA and everything else. So they're regulated on their breeding and everything else, but there's a lot of them. I mean, a lot of these reptilians.
In the interview you did with Lon, you talked about seeing what appeared to be soldiers, if I understood it correctly, being brought through a Stargate at a Stonehenge-looking site. Could you elaborate on
that? Yeah, it started off, you know, I was in the bathtub when they took me out too. It's kind of weird, but they took me out of the bathtub and they were showing me stuff that was going on, and it looked like Iraq, and they were showing me techniques that the military was using to flush people out of buildings and everything, which was pretty ingenious, and they was getting them to surrender, but they were still killing them, you know, things that you might not hear about on the news and stuff. And they're like, you know about this, you know, I guess because it's a coward way of doing things to them. It was taking me to different spots. Like I was in a helicopter or a UFO or whatever you want to call it. But I was seeing all kinds of things that was going on the ground and stuff. And they took me over to this one area that looked like a Stonehenge. I swear to God, it looked like a Stonehenge. And then it was a bunch of military personnel that was on these cots, you know, all lined up like it was ready for a pickup from a helicopter. But they was carrying them in to this portal or Stargate right there at the Stonehenge. And
these were human military personnel on the cots?
Yeah. I don't know if they was dead or alive. So they could have been dead. But they was carrying them in and to the portal of Stargate, you know. And I don't know if they take them in for food or using body parts or whatever they're doing with them or fixing them up. I have no idea what they were doing with them. They was carrying them in. So that kind of makes me think, you know, because the time that I was telling you about that they took me and my wife and we was on the moon, there was dragons behind them. But when that thing came up out of the ground, that looked like a Stonehenge type deal, but with a lid on top of it. And I told them that there was a place like that where I come from. And the reptilian kind of turned around and said, yeah, we know. And I asked him, I said, what do you know what it is? And he's like, it's a survey point, which I know what a survey point is, but I'm guessing that that's maybe a survey point to where a portal or a Stargate would open up and they could use it. And that's what maybe Stonehenge is, you know. It's hard to get these guys to talk to me sometimes, especially the workers that are just transporting me around. They don't like to talk to you. They're not allowed to.
And how do they talk to you, telepathically or through the spoken word? How does that work?
through a spoken word. It seemed like they know a little bit about telepathic stuff, but I think it's an implant that they put in you so they can tell what you're thinking, and you can fool them that way by changing what you're thinking. Because they don't always get it right, you know. So, but they'll get it close, what you're thinking, but they don't always get it right. So, no, it has not been telepathic. They word from mouth, and they do seem to speak their own language. But every time I listen to them talk, they're speaking English. And I tell everybody, I think the English language is like the language of the birds, you know. It's a universal. They always speak in English to me, that's for sure, or to each other around. So, and can they speak other languages? I'm sure they can, but English is the one they've been using.
Now, when you've been down on the underground bases, David, and you've reported seeing humans down there, what, and I know this is kind of horrific, some of the stuff that goes on, but could you give us an idea of what goes on down there? You indicated that, and I've heard this from others, that many of the humans that are down there are used for a food source. This has been described as the processing plants by my mentor, Barbara Bartholik, and Dr. Carla Turner talked about this too. Could you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, I can talk about it. I can tell you, let me tell you about this one time. I was, they came and got me out of the house and everything, and they carried me into this room, which is, I was sitting looking at some of the inner structure, you know, as they was told me through, and there was, brought me into one of this room, and the door opened up like a school building door. You know, there's a long handle on, you push open and the door opens up. You ain't got to use your hands or use your hip, you know, open up the door. They brought me into this room, and this tile on the ceiling, and this tile on the floor, and the tiles on the wall, like a clean room. And a drain right in the middle with a stainless steel bed. And then they put me on top of this stainless steel bed. And I was like, what's going on, you know? And I could see the reptilian doctors. They was looking through the window, through the other door. It was on the other side of the room. I don't know if they was getting ready to do something or not, but I could see them talking back and forth to each other. And then I couldn't see them for a few minutes. I noticed that there was a long oval window, probably about 5 foot long and about maybe a foot wide. And I kept seeing these colors coming down by it. I was like, what the heck is that? You know, the curiosity gets the best of me. So I eased myself off the bed, and I walked over to the window, and I'm looking at it, and there's bodies that was coming down, and these things were coming out of the walls that would jab them in each side of the leg on the inside, and it would, like, siphon all the fluid out of them, like, really quick, and they looked like raisins when they got, you know, it seemed like it was low gravity because they was, like, just kind of floating down like feathers after that, and it was falling from the top, and I'm trying to look up on top, and there was a bunch of humans lined up there. They was dressed up like in corduroys, flannel shirts, scarves and stuff like that, and they didn't look really healthy, like they was malnutritioned, and they was just standing there in line, and they was lining them up, and I didn't see them pushing them off or anything like that. And I just that's when they started coming in the door, the reptilian doctors or whatever, and I ran over and jumped on the bed. I knew they knew I was looking at it. I'm like, am I going to make it home tonight or what? Is this it for me? they ended up bringing my wife in and laid her over in the corner. She didn't have no clothes on. I don't remember anything more after that, but I was getting upset that the inner structure was the same kind of stuff that you can buy at Lowe's or Home Depot. I was like, and I was getting upset, like somebody's supplying these guys with this stuff or they're stealing it, either or. I didn't see no.
What was this equipment or products you're talking about that could have come from Lowe's or Home Depot? What did it look like and what was its function?
Tile, you know, stainless steel bed. It looks like stuff that we made.
Yeah.
And the doors, you know, the doors look like something you could go, you know, get at a school building or a library, you know, with a single handle on that you just push on with your hip or whatever, so you got to touch the door.
Yeah, I remember
that.
And
those. It had glass in it. Yeah, and you've seen those too.
Yeah, when I was a kid, okay. you put your hip up against the side and push it open if you had like a tray full of food or something.
And I was getting upset, like, who's supplying these guys with this stuff? You know, it looks like stuff that we made. And, you know, so I don't know if we made it or they're making it. You know, they're their engineering is like ours, but this is white tile on the ceiling that, you know, like I got in my bathroom, and there's white tile on the floor and the walls, and it's all done up like we did it, you know. It's like, and I was getting upset by it. It's like, who's supplying these guys with this stuff, or are they stealing it, or whatever? But and the time travel, I believe that they time traveling as well, because one time that they taken me out of the house, and the house I was in, the Milton house, was in ruins. Some of the walls were missing and crumbling down, and the stairway was still there, but it was being at my house, but like in the future, that the house is in ruins. So bricks laying everywhere. So they time travel, and they have to, because they showed me some stuff that that I probably shouldn't talk about, but you know, things that are going to happen in the future. I don't know if they consider that for a payment for what they put me through, or whatever, you know, to give me information for the future. But I knew about the Fukushima plant, the tsunami coming in, but I didn't know if it was the United States that it came into or Japan. But I got to see that 2 weeks before it happened. I even called up my sister and told her about it, and told her to write it down on the calendar. And when it happened, I called her up. I said, "Now, what did I tell you to write down?" And she says, "That's incredible." She said, "I'm not psychic." I said, "But that's what I overheard was going on, because it was here at my house where I'm at now, and I overheard them talking that they was going to go watch that happen." So, and it did happen. So that's the time traveling. They know about things that are going to happen in the future. So,
in the time we got left in this first segment, David, and thank you for sharing all this. It's been very enlightening, and it's given us all, you know, food for thought, so to speak. The humans that you've seen down there, do you feel that some of them may have been brought down from the surface, kidnapped, and, you know, just taken down there? Or do you feel that all or most of them were the products of some kind of genetic fast grow cloning program? I wouldn't really say cloning, but you did say that some of these little girls look identical, so that seems to be going on too. But just your thoughts on that. Do you think any of the people down there were brought from the surface?
Yes, some of them. And there's more humans there that are probably born and raised there, because they don't seem to like to take full-grown human and keep them there. Because they don't integrate with their rules and everything as well, you know, once they're a certain age. But if you raise somebody there, they're more prone to understand it and follow along with what the program is. And you know, we were talking about psychic abilities too. I think they're psychic towards each other more than they are towards us, because it seems like they're responsible for what they're thinking too, as well. So I think they can pass each other in the hallway and think about what somebody's thinking, and they can get in trouble for it or whatever. So you can't really hide nothing from them as far as that goes. They can't hide stuff from each other. But yeah, back to some of them are humans from here, because I've seen them being operated on and done things to that, but they're mostly all in a comatose state. I have not seen them training them for any missions or anything like that. Matter of fact, I did see something. I don't know if they were from here or not, but usually the humans that are from here, they're not really dressed very well, but like they pulled them out of bed or something. But there was like an archaeological dig up underneath the water going on, and they brought me there. And there seemed to be a lot of humans there moving mud and everything. So, and it was kind of weird being down there, because it's like a force field or a bubble around this site that was under the ocean, and they was looking for all kinds of things, any archaeological stuff, and they brought me there. Well, I did not know, but I do have an interest in archaeology, because I want to know what's going on in the past. So I think some of those were workers there. I don't know if they brought me there to work or whatever. So
they definitely use humans, whether they've been grown by them. And folks, I mean, let's stop. And, you know, for comparison purposes, we have breeding farms of animals, breeding dogs, and you have like these fish farms, and KFC makes chicken that's not even really chicken. It's just some kind of genetic abomination that people think are chicken. So what David is describing is very much within, unfortunately, within the realm of possibility, that they're kind of spawning all these humans down there to do work for them, to be kind of like their pets in some cases. And then when they get too old and unuseful and too unruly, I guess they process them. But they do bring down people from the surface, and they do things to them as well. Because some people that I know have talked about how they have observed humans being used as a slave force down there, doing, you know, made to do horrific things that you know, just nightmarish. But anyhow, we've reached the end of a thought-provoking first segment with our very special guest David Eckhart. And we've still got a whole another segment to go. Those of you listening, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.